the amazing accomplishments of faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 32 to verse 35, the beginning of verse 35, it says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again." Over the last 6 months, we've looked at Hebrews 11. And it is 6 months. Amazing how time goes by so quickly. We're halfway through just about 2014, and we've been looking at this this chapter since pretty much the beginning of the year. And we talked about people of faith, famous people that are recognized, well recognized throughout the Scripture, and things that they accomplished by faith. And we've talked about Abel and the sacrifice that he made, and Noah and the ark, Abraham and Isaac, and Moses and the Red Sea. And we've been challenged to trust God for salvation and also for service in the Christian life. As we come near the end of the chapter and these verses that wrap up the chapter in our text this morning and on through the remainder of the chapter, we see that there were some accomplishments that weren't necessarily attached to a particular Bible character. And yet they are amazing accomplishments of faith. They were extremely diverse in the things that were done. Not all the same thing. You know, sometimes we think, well, God can part the Red Sea, but can God do this in my life? Well, we see in these verses that the accomplishments of faith are very diverse. God is able to do, as Ephesians 3 tells us, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. Just because God can part the Red Sea doesn't mean that that's the way God has to work every day in our life and every time in our life. God can do many amazing things, and His power is unlimited. His power is great. Seeing these things helps us to realize it also that faith is sometimes exciting. Faith is sometimes comforting, but faith is always rewarding. As Hebrews 11:6 tells us, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Our faith never goes unnoticed to God. And though it may not be published in Scripture, it may not be published far and wide what God has done in our life as we trusted Him by faith, yet the accomplishments of faith, or the faith that we express in our God, never goes unnoticed by Him. Though faith doesn't always do what we expect, God never disappoints. And whatever you may face in your life, realize that by trusting God, you will see Him do some great things in your life. And this morning, as we consider the message, I've entitled it, Amazing Accomplishments of Faith. Lord willing, next week we will look at kind of the other side of the coin, but I believe amazing things as well, and a message I entitled for next week, Incredible Accomplishments of Faith. But this morning, as we consider our text, I'd like us to consider these amazing accomplishments of faith. Let's pray together as we begin. Again, Lord, we are thankful that we can be here, and we're thankful that we have the Bible that gives us these accounts of things that were accomplished by faith. And though a particular person may not be attached to the particular things that were accomplished, Lord, we recognize that the accomplishments are great. The accomplishments are diverse. And we recognize that our God is a great God. You are a great and powerful God who is able to do far more than we can imagine can be done. Lord, there are circumstances and situations in our life, as were the case in lives of those gone by, who, where we look at, we would say, it can't be done. It's impossible. But we thank You that You are able to do the impossible, for nothing shall be impossible with You. And so as we consider this message this morning, I pray, Lord, that we would take the time to consider not only what was done, but what can be done in our lives as we trust You. Lord, You've told us that whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And though we find ourselves in different circumstances and situations and these that we will look at today, may we see the parallels that we can draw in our own life and see what You can then do in us and through us as we trust You. Lord, we are thankful that You are a God who is a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. And so we trust you with our lives. We trust you, Lord, with the circumstances of our life, and pray that you'd help us to realize that you desire to be active in everything, and you desire us to place our faith and trust in you day by day. And Lord, we're most thankful, of course, for our salvation, a gift that is received by faith. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here this morning who's never received that gift, that today would be the day where they would receive Jesus Christ as their Savior and know the joy of salvation. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms. Kingdoms are subdued, according to our text, by faith, or were subdued by faith. Say, how do we see that? When did that happen? Well, we've mentioned some of the accounts throughout our study already in Hebrews chapter 11, but Joshua and the Israelites subdued Canaan, didn't they? Previous to that, even before they crossed into Canaan, we find that Moses, was used of God to subdue kingdoms as they traveled about. We find that in Canaan there were chariots of iron. The kingdoms, the nations that were in that place had chariots of iron. They had mighty fortified armies. And yet God had promised them that if they would trust Him, that one would chase 1,000 and two would chase 10,000, and those chariots of iron would be as nothing if God was with them and working through them if they would just trust Him by faith. God had promised them the land and gave them the victory as long as they trusted Him to do so. Sadly, we find that they were not able to drive out all the people of the land. But what was the reason? It was a lack of faith. But through faith, nations or kingdoms were subdued. We've talked about Gideon. We've talked about Barak. We've talked about Samson. And we recognize in those situations and all the other judges that God used them to subdue the nations that were oppressing Israel. And though the odds were against them, by faith they wrought great victories. We've talked about David, who defeated Goliath. And David, who also, as he became the king, defeated other nations and subdued kingdoms. You say, what's that got to do with us? We're not going out to fight against some nation. We're not going to try and defeat a kingdom. We're not going to subdue a kingdom. No, but we do have struggles in this life, don't we? They may not be with kingdoms, necessarily in the sense of what we're looking at, but we have struggles. We struggle with our old nature. According to Romans chapter 7, the Bible talks about Paul giving his life and saying, the things that I would, I don't do, and the things I want to do, those I don't. And it was a struggle. It was a battle. And he said, who shall deliver me from this? And he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. What did Paul recognize? Paul recognized that through faith, he was able to subdue, as it were, his old nature and be victorious in his Christian life. We struggle, according to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 1, with weights. Not the kind that we go and pump at the gym. We may struggle with them too. But those habits of our life, the sin which doth so easily beset us, we struggle with those things. And yet, according to what we read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and verse 2, through faith we're able to overcome those things in our life. We're able to subdue those things. We struggle with temptations, don't we? They're all around us. I don't mean the temptation to break our diet and eat something that we said we weren't going to eat. I mean the temptations that are to sin. I mean the temptations that are before us all the time, the things that are flashed before our eyes and things that are wrong and sinful, and we are tempted to do those things. But we don't need to be giving in to that. We can be victorious over the temptation to sin through faith. We struggle with the temptation to sin. We struggle with the temptation to fear. We struggle with the temptation to worry and fret and so on. But the Bible tells us that through faith, these subdued kingdoms. If they could subdue kingdoms through faith, do you not think that we can overcome those things that would be seemingly inevitably defeating us in our life? Yes, we can be victorious through faith. In 1 John 5:4 it says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." Our faith in God is that which can help us to be victorious in our Christian life. Struggling makes us weary, doesn't it? We struggle with those temptations. We struggle with the things that afflict us in our life, and we say, I just can't carry on. Oh, yes, you can, by faith. You can gain the victory over those things in your life. If God caused those who struggled against physical kingdoms to be victorious, He can give us the victory as well. And think about as we think about kingdoms, of course, the Bible tells us that Satan is the god of this world. There are many things that are going on in this world, and we say, how will we ever see a difference? How will we ever make a difference in this world? How will we ever see righteousness prevail? By faith, they subdued kingdoms. And Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we must put on the armor of God and the shield of faith. And through faith, the Bible says, we can gain the victory. We see that not only were kingdoms subdued by faith, but righteousness was wrought by faith. Wrought means to be engaged in or to commit, to labor, to minister about. The same Greek word is used in Acts 10:35, translated worketh righteousness. By faith, they wrought righteousness. By faith, they worked righteousness. Samuel is a great picture of that. We looked at his life last week, didn't we? And in a situation where Israel was bent on sinning and had turned from God, what did Samuel do? He brought them back. He pointed them back to God. He wrought righteousness by faith. Being involved in righteousness takes commitment and it takes labor. Many are not willing to pay the price to be paid in order to bring about righteousness or to wrought righteousness. It takes faith to live a godly life in an ungodly world. But these people, through faith, wrought righteousness. They did it. They overcame the wickedness that was around them, and they lived a righteous, godly life by faith. Oh, Noah's a wonderful example of that, isn't he? Because the Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, it says that the time of Noah's day, that every imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. Do you think we live in a bad day? Do you think it's any worse than that? The Bible says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And we look around and we believe that Jesus is coming back very soon. Our day may be very similar to Noah's day. How can we live righteously in this world? Well, Noah gave us the answer. Our text gives us the answer: through faith. By faith, we can live a godly life in an ungodly world. It takes faith to do right and to live right, because the world's philosophy is largely do what feels good and it doesn't really matter. Just live how you want to live. But that was Noah's day too. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, and their thoughts were evil continually. It was a loose world like we live in today. But faith says, I can't live that way, because my God has given me in His Word the way I need to live my life, and I'm going to trust Him and do what is right. And through faith, we can work righteousness. Through faith, we can live right. Faith says, I can't live the way the world's philosophy leads me to live, because I know I'm going to stand before a holy, righteous God, and I'm going to give account of my life to Him. And therefore, by faith, I choose not to live like the world. I choose to live as God has told me to live. And through faith, we work righteousness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:16 that believers are to be the light of the world. The world is getting to be a dark place, spiritually speaking. And Jesus says we are to be the light of the world. That means we are to shine righteousness in a dark world. How can we do that? By faith. by living according to what God has said by faith, by showing forth our good works. Romans 12:21 is a challenging verse for us to live our life. It says this, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Sometimes we may feel like it's just no use. Throw up our hands. But no, God says, don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Do right. As I believe it was Bob Jones Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Do right. Do right all the time. Just live right. How do we accomplish that? Well, according to our text here, it's by faith. It's saying, God, I know You will give me the strength to do what is right. Therefore, I choose to trust You and I choose to live righteously. He goes on to say in our text, not only were kingdoms subdued and righteousness was wrought, but promises were obtained. Obtained is defined as to get, to procure, to gain possession of, or to acquire. We gain or acquire promises by faith. A promise is something that God has said that He would do in the context of Scripture here. These people obtained promises. They acquired what God had said He would do. How? By faith. By trusting that God was going to do what He said He would do. We've talked about Abraham and Sarah and how they obtained Isaac by faith. It didn't look very likely when they were past childbearing age. And at one point they said, well, we're going to have to help God out. And they went to the flesh and made a big mistake. But ultimately they trusted God by faith to bring about the promise that He said He would do. They obtained promise by faith. Look with me back at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 15. In this regard, Hebrews 6, verse 15. We're talking about obtaining promises by faith. Yes, they wrought righteousness by faith. Yes, they subdued kingdoms by faith. And yes, we find that they obtained promises by faith. In Hebrews 6:15 it says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." Speaking about Abraham, he had patiently endured. Patiently waiting. 25 years of waiting and the promise was given. He obtained a promise by faith. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 14. Joshua chapter 14, I believe, gives us another wonderful example of one who obtained a promise by faith. And what a beautiful picture he is of this thought. And that man's name is Caleb. Caleb was one of the 12 spies that went in to spy out the land of Canaan. Caleb was one of the 12 spies. He was one of the 2 spies who came back with a good report. The other of whom, of course, was Joshua. In Joshua chapter 14, we find that the time has gone by. Israel has spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness because they refused to follow the advice of Caleb and Joshua. All those who are 20 years old and upward have died in the wilderness in this last 40 years. And now they come and they're in the promised land. And God's dividing up the land through Joshua, dividing up the land for them. And here's Caleb. Caleb was, and Joshua, the only two that lived past that time and went into the promised land. And look what it says in Joshua 14, verse 10. Well, back up to verse number 9. Moses swore on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was 85 years old. 45 years has gone by. Look at verse 11. "As yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in." What a statement. 85 years old, he said, "I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. I can't vouch for 85. I can only vouch for 45. 40 more years, will I be as strong as I was 5 years ago? I don't know, if the Lord doesn't come back, I just hope that I'm able to, eat my food and enjoy the day, right? But he says, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40 years old. Now therefore, it says in verse number 12, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and said unto, gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. How did Caleb, 85 years old, get the land that was promised 45 years earlier? By faith. He obtained the promise. Moses said to him, Caleb, you're going to get that land. You're going to have your inheritance in that land. And 45 years later, he obtained the promise by faith. He trusted God. He said, if God will be with me, I'm going to get this land just as if it was 45 years ago. He obtained a promise by faith. Talk about patiently enduring. Can you imagine what it was like? 45 years waiting, thinking, man, I could have been here 45 years ago. But God blessed him with a measure of health and strength that he had equal to what he had 45 years earlier, and he obtained the promise by faith. There are many promises given to us in the Bible, and they must be claimed by faith. We know that God won't renege on his part of the promise. He didn't renege on Caleb. Caleb got the land, just like God had promised. We know God is good for his part of the promise. But will we trust him to receive that promise? Salvation is a promise to be obtained by faith. By grace are you saved through faith. We must receive the gift of salvation by faith. See, the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The promise of salvation is available. It's there. How do we get it? By faith. Whosoever believeth in him. Who's whosoever? The person who says, I believe that. I believe it. They can receive it by faith. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Was the question of Acts 16:30 of the Philippian jailer. The answer was, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And thy house, believe, and thou shalt be saved. It was to be received by faith. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believing in the heart, confessing with the mouth, calling upon the name of the Lord by faith. That promise of salvation is obtained by faith. Have you obtained that promise by faith? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? If not, that promise is waiting for you to receive it today by faith. You can't earn it, but you can get it. You can receive it by faith. God has given many promises in the Bible to Christians, to believers, that we must receive by faith. He said, ask and ye shall receive. James says, ye have not because ye ask not. You didn't express the faith in asking God for it, therefore you don't have it. See, we need to ask by faith, and God says we'll receive. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Say, well, how do I know that? You trust God by faith. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and he that knocketh, it shall be opened unto him. We are promised peace in time of trouble. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. But if we ignore the fact that God is with us, we can still fear. We say, by faith, I'm going to trust God to help me through this trial, this difficult situation, because he said he would be with me. Therefore, I choose to trust him rather than be afraid. It's a promise to be obtained by faith. The promise of victory, as we've talked about already in the previous two points there, is ours to claim by faith. Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. His promise of direction in our life. I don't know what to do. What shall I do? Where shall I go? How shall I live my life? What direction shall I take with my life? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord is faith. I'm going to trust God and do what I know He wants me to do day by day, and I'm going to trust Him, then He's going to open up the paths for my life. It's a promise to be obtained by faith. And we could go on and we could talk about many promises that God gives to us that He says they're here for the receiving, but will you obtain them by faith? What an awesome thing it is to obtain the promises of God. It's simple to do it by faith. Our text goes on to tell us that not only was it that there were kingdoms that were subdued and righteousness was wrought and promises were obtained, but at the end of verse 33, you may say, I just hope that this one takes place right now. Stop the mouths. Oh, it says of lions, not of the preacher. I thought, you know, saying amen, let's go home and have lunch, right? Stop the mouth of the preacher. No, stop the mouths of lions. Mouths were stopped by faith. The word stopped means to fence or enclose, to block up, or to silence. David stopped the mouth of the lion that was stealing a sheep from his father's flock. How did he do that? He was just a young shepherd boy. Well, he gave us the answer, didn't he? He said, the God who delivered me out of the paw of the lion, and the mouth of the lion, the paw of the bear, He will deliver me. It was by faith. Daniel, of course, I mean, as soon as I read that verse, maybe you too, stop the mouths of lions. Daniel, he slept with them. I mean, he slept with the lions in a lion's den. The king couldn't sleep. The king was up all night pacing, saying, oh, what have I done? How did I get myself into it? How did I let those guys deceive me into that? And he paced up and down, and he didn't eat, and nothing could calm his spirit. And he came first thing in the morning, and he said, Daniel, are you still down there? And Daniel said, oh, king, I'm here. God sent His angel and He stopped the mouths of the lions. See, well, maybe the lions weren't hungry. Maybe they just ate and they weren't hungry. Well, we find out that the guys who deceived the king into getting that decree signed, they were cast into the lions and they were hungry. They evidenced their hunger and they ate those people up. But through faith, the mouths of the lions were stopped, and Daniel said, my God hath sent His angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much therefore as before Him innocence He was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed his God. Through faith, the mouths of the lions were stopped. What a miraculous thing. You say, well, I haven't heard anything about them reinstating the lion's den for persecution of believers. And, you know, last time I went to the zoo, there were bars there. So, big deal. I mean, why do we need to worry about the mouths of lions being stopped? I have no inclination to become a lion tamer. Well, you know, the Bible says that we have an adversary. And He is walking about seeking whom He may devour. You know what He's compared to? A roaring lion. He's looking to devour believers. And verse number 9 of 1 Peter 5:8, after verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9 says this, whom resist, steadfast in what? The faith. Resist him steadfast in the faith. How can we stop the mouths of our adversary, the lion who is seeking to devour us? According to the Word of God, it's be steadfast in the faith. Trust God. Look at 1 John, chapter 2. 1 John, a few pages over there from Hebrews. Hebrews, James, 1 and 2 Peter, 1 and 2 John. So 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, but 1 John chapter 2, verse number 14. Talking about stopping the mouths of lions and thinking about our adversary being the lion, can we overcome the devil in his attempts to devour us, to defeat us? He says in verse 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and if the word of God abideth in you, and look at this, and you have overcome the wicked one. You've overcome the wicked one. I've written unto you because you've overcome the wicked one. And so we recognize that, yes, we can be victorious over the temptations the devil puts our way. We can stop the mouth of that lion, as it were. How? By faith. Not in our own strength, but by the power of God. By faith, we're to resist him steadfast. In the faith, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And so we recognize by faith, the mouth of the lions were stopped. And we see also that then the fire was quenched in verse number 34. Quench the violence of fire. It says the violence of fire. Fire is destructive. Quench means to extinguish or to put it out. We have fire extinguishers because we say if there's a fire, we want to be able to put it out. To quench the violence of the fire. To put it out so it does no more harm. Again, I'm sure your mind goes back with mine to the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those three young men who answered the king, O Nebuchadnezzar. We are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They've been told if they didn't bow down to that idol that they'd be cast into the furnace of the fire. People said, hey, they didn't bow down. They need to be cast into the fire. And the king liked them and he said, I'm going to give you another chance. Guys, maybe you didn't hear the trumpet. Maybe you didn't hear the sound of those noises that you knew meant you're supposed to bow down. So, I like you. So I'm going to give you another chance. They said, we don't need another chance. We're not careful to answer you. We didn't do this frivolously. We didn't do this in any way because we didn't know what was going on. It says, if so be, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They said, we're not going to bow down to your idol because why? We trust our God. He may deliver us from the fire, but he may not. But it doesn't make any difference to us. Our faith is in him. We're going to trust him to be with us or to deliver us. Now we look back and we say, well, yeah, we know that God delivered them and that was great. I don't know that they'd ever heard of anyone being delivered from fire before. I don't find it necessarily in other places in the Bible that God would deliver anyone out of a furnace of a fire. Though he does say that he will be with us when we walk through the fire. Maybe that was what they were depending upon and leaning upon, but they expressed great faith. And God honored their faith so that the Bible says that when they came out of the fire, that their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. Through faith, that fire was quenched. And we know the story that when the king looked in, he said, aren't there four in there? But I thought we only threw in three. And the fourth is like unto the Son of Man. And God was with them and delivered them and honored their faith. Again, I trust we'll never be put in such a place as that. But we too can be delivered from the fire. In a very real way, wasn't it our Lord himself who quenched the fire of hell for us? See, we can have the opportunity to have our names written in the book of life. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15, another book was opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're saved here today and your name is written in the book of life, Jesus has quenched the fires of hell for you. He took your judgment upon himself. If you're not saved, he did it for you anyway, but you haven't received that by faith yet. But you can know the quenching of that eternal fire for you. Those written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be spared the torments of hell for eternity. And so Jude says in verse 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. If you trusted Jesus Christ today and been delivered from that fire. The trials of this life are also likened to fire, aren't they? The trying of your faith. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. So the promise of quenching the fire doesn't end with our salvation, because God has promised His protection when the flames of this fire come upon His children. And when those flames come upon us, as it were, God says, when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And He will help us through the trials and the flames of our life. Those difficult times, as we've already read, when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is there with us. God has promised that by faith we can see the violence of the fire quenched. The edge of the sword is escaped, and we don't have time to look at these in great detail, but the sword often refers to judgment, and again, we've been spared from the judgment of God by Jesus taking that upon Himself. We could look back and think about those who escaped the sword of other nations and things in the Old Testament. And David often escaped the sword of Saul because of God's plan of and protection upon his life. And Elijah escaped the sword of Ahab and Jezebel and so on. But again, we've been delivered. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We receive that by faith. Many times God delivers us from the perils of this life, even when we don't know about it. And He says it's by His mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not and His faithfulness is new every morning. Christian, trust God and look to Him each day to watch over you. Strength from weakness by faith. Life from death by faith. When we are weak, then we can be strong. Life, women receive their children raised to life again. We see that took place in 1 Kings chapter 17, the widow of Zarephath's son was restored to life by Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 5, the Shunammite's son was restored by Elisha. Jesus restored the life of the young girl in Matthew chapter 9 and of the widow of Nain's son in the book of Luke chapter 7. And Mary, of course, upon arriving at the tomb, found that her son, Jesus Christ, had risen again. Faith brings life from death. Jesus says, because I live, ye shall live also. Again, it's from our salvation, that life that He gives us. We're quickened, we're made alive by faith. Wonderful things, exciting things, yes, amazing things are accomplished by faith. Kingdoms are subdued, righteousness is wrought, promises are obtained, mouths are stopped, fire is quenched, the edge of the sword is escaped. Strength comes from weakness. Life comes from death. Yes, Jesus said that mountains can be moved. How does that take place? By faith. By faith, these things take place. And so as we think about and apply these things to our own lives today, we must say and ask the question, have we received Jesus Christ by faith? Have we been born again by faith? That's the beginning of faith. It's the beginning. It's the new life that He gives, a new eternity in the joys of heaven. Have you begun that journey of faith by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Then, Christian, are you trusting God by faith to help you overcome the temptations, the habits, the weights that weigh you down in this life, the sin which does so easily beset you? Are you trusting Him to help you to live for God despite the wickedness that may surround you in your workplace or your environment, whatever that may be? Are you trusting God to help you obtain those promises of answered prayer, of peace, of victory, of direction? Are you trusting God to help you resist the devil, to trust God's hand of protection in your life, to get that strength in the weakness that you need in your life? By faith, amazing accomplishments of faith. Are you trusting Him today? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you again for this time, and thank you for this portion of Scripture and the reminder of these things that have been accomplished by faith. And Lord, we marvel. We marvel at these things, and we say, wow, how could that have been done? And then we look and we say, it was because of our great God. And those who saw those things accomplished were the recipients of those blessings by faith because they trusted you. And Lord, I pray as we examine our own life today that we would examine our own life to the extent of these things and the applications that you've given to us even this morning. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that's never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they would realize that today they can be saved for time and for eternity. They can have the violence of the fires of hell quenched for them for eternity simply by trusting you. Lord, as believers, help us to realize that faith didn't end with our salvation, but that was just the beginning of opportunities to express our faith in you, and that you will help us in the things that we face in our life as we trust you by faith. And so, Lord, may our hearts be challenged with these thoughts today, and if there's conscious decisions that need to be made to trust you in particular areas, Lord, I pray that we'll be willing to do that this morning as you speak to our hearts. Lord, we'll be thankful that you do speak to us and that you do answer and trust, as we trust you by faith, Lord, that we are never disappointed because you always come through in the ways that you have promised to do so. And so we thank you for speaking to our hearts in Jesus' name. Just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed this morning, I trust that God has spoken to you about the need of your life this morning. As we've looked at these different areas and aspects of faith and how they apply to us, the first one that comes to our mind is that faith of salvation. Maybe this morning that you fear what comes after this life because you're not sure that you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You say, I hope I'm going to go to heaven. Hope is not enough. You need to know. And God says you can if you trust Him by faith. You're here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm a little afraid of eternity. I'm not sure that if I die today, I go to heaven. And I'm a little afraid about the possibilities of hell for me. And preacher, I'm afraid of that. I'd like you to pray for me that I would trust God by faith and know that salvation that He provides. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that this morning? Let me pray for you. Christian, I trust that God has spoken to your heart this morning and God is doing a work in your life. It may be that you need to trust Him to subdue those things in your life, those temptations, those habits, the flesh, sin, those weights. Maybe that you need to trust God to help you to live right in the wicked circumstances that may be facing you in this world. Maybe that you need to ask God to help you to obtain those promises, to resist the devil, to trust Him for His protection, to be strengthened in your weakness. It may be that God has spoken to you in one of these areas. You say, preacher, I need to trust God in one of those areas. Would you pray for me? Anybody like that? Slip up your hand. Let me pray for you. Amen. Lord bless you. Preacher, God has spoken to my heart this morning. It's one of those areas that God has really touched my life about. I need to trust Him. Would you pray for me? Lord, thank you again that we can be here and thank you for hearts that have been touched today. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help those who raised a hand this morning to realize that you will help them in response to their faith. And Lord, as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, it may be that we need to do business with you. And Lord, I pray that we'd be willing to do that, even perhaps to come to the front to pray, to kneel where we are, to sit in our pew and just have a conversation with you about our faith and trust in you. But Lord, whatever need is, I pray that we'll be doing business with you as we have opportunity to do it today. May be glorified in our lives as you were in the lives of these who we've talked about this morning, who trusted you by faith. So speak to us, I pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymn books and turn to sing a hymn of invitation this morning. As Lance comes to lead us in this hymn of invitation, maybe you just need to take that step to trust God and say, God, I need you to help me. Whether it be in your pew or at the front here, would you just take a moment to say, God, I'm choosing to express faith in you in this circumstance and situation in my life. He will. He's promised to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him and trust Him
by faith.